Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by GhostBed.com! Oh, yes, Chef. Oh, yes, Chef.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, Chef.
Oh, no.
Yes, Chef. Whew. Man, I'm sweating.
Yeah.
The last time I was sweating like this was at the season finale of The Bear.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, that's stressful, isn't it? Whew.
I don't know I don't know if they could top that first season.
I mean,
it was amazing. I think Delco was the one that was like, have you seen the To Go episode yet? Which all in one take.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Mm, amazing.
They used a different location for it, Delco. I'm not going to ruin it for everybody. Fuck it. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, look, if it's in one take, I think that everyone can assume they can't do that in the
It's really well lit, too. They didn't have a choice but to light that from overhead. Yeah, it was awesome.
You can't reset.
The show itself was incredible and... we just finished. We said we would talk about it once we were done with it. Season one is done. They are shooting season two. I bitch on the show all the time about what Hollywood is doing as far as diversity and issues and trying to jam people into things all the time. This is what I'm talking about it, just have it make sense for the story, for the city, for the location. And then no one gives a shit about diversity and everything else. Like, this show in particular was cast top to bottom. Lights out, everybody was believable from where they were working, everything else, and that's exactly how you should do it. It just does not happen very much anymore. But it was phenomenal. And besides the lead, I didn't know anybody else. You knew somebody from Girls, you said?
Yeah, the other guy, basically, the cousin.
Cousin?
Yeah, cousin.
Yeah, cousin.
From Girls and played, this is the weirdest part, this is like how much range this actor has.
Mm-hmm.
He played John Quincy Adams in John Adams.
Oh, JQA.
That's right.
Yeah.
JQA, all right.
And I will say, I said it when I saw the first couple episodes, like in Girls, sorry, like he wasn't that good. He classically was not like a great actor. I just think he found, or someone found for him, the perfect role where he can just be probably himself. I don't know.
If you'd never seen that guy before, you would just be like, oh, this must be what he's like in real life.
This is what he's like in real life.
Well, we all know somebody like that. I mean, every single one of us knows that one dirtbag. Oh, yeah.
Than we do.
That's probably every single one of his friends,
yeah,
to be honest with you. But we at least have one in our lives, and that's that guy. I thought they knocked it out of the park all the way around, and every episode was a blast. I still think they left enough room for 2, 3, 4, all that stuff.
It's just not going to be the same. It's the same as anything when you're scrappy and starting out and just really wanting something to go and not really knowing and not having the shine or the confidence. Like, it's just going to be different. Once people tell you you're amazing, it just fucking changes a little bit. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
FX has a history of it, though. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm with it. I'm into it.
All right.
What I'm not into, though, is the MTV Movie Awards, I guess, for last night.
Yeah, nobody was. Nobody watched it.
Not one person.
Yeah.
It wasn't trending online. I didn't hear anything. If it wasn't for a friend of mine who posted a couple people that he, you know, worked with in the music video industry who had won, I wouldn't have even known it was on.
Right. I didn't know it was on at the time, but the next day they show you all the highlights and all the crazy stuff. And
was there any crazy stuff?
Yes. Gone are the days when people are like, I don't want my kids to see this, because nobody's sitting down with their family and watching it anymore.
Right,
so it's
right,
like,
right.
You know, I can't even picture a family sitting down right now, kids and everyone, and watching the MTV. So like, that whole, remember that trope back in back in the day of like, my kids can't see this. This is crazy. It's like, no. The only people that saw it were highlights after and the people sitting in the room. So we're good.
Yeah.
Queer bait, do whatever the fuck you want. We don't care.
What was the,
no one cares.
What was the shocking thing? So I watched some of the highlights. The Johnny Depp thing was awful. If you're going to just put him on a computer screen as a hologram, what's the point, I guess?
I love, like, the they really beat that dead horse of, like, the joke of him needing work. It was just like every clip was like, hey, guys, I'm here because I'll do anything. Ha, ha, ha. And then like the next clip, hey, guys, I'm available for right. bat mitzvahs.
Oh,
bar-. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say let's give it another. I mean, chill out a little bit. Do you think?
Ah,
nobody takes my advice
it's
about disappearing.
It's the celebrity social currency.
Nobody
James.
Takes my advice about disappearing. They never do it.
No,
they can't do it.
No, 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 no. You got to use that currency while you got it. That celebrity social currency while you got it. The people are on Johnny's side. Somebody paid him to do that. I think it was a bad move on my part, but whatever.
Right.
And then other than that, the only other thing I heard about was this dude, Young Gravy, showing up with a TikTok mom who is going through a divorce. First of all, he's terrible.
Addison Rae. So not just any TikToker.
I understand, but it's her mom.
I know.
Put
that's
some
what
respect
I'm...
on Sherry Easterling, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, she's
for
hot.
Real, look, AKA Queen of the MILFs from Young Gravy himself.
She is hot. I will give her that. She is she's an attractive woman.
She is an attractive woman. Does she still look like a mom? Yeah.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
You can't, at a certain age, I know it well. You can't escape that. Like, you can wear whatever, you can show up with whoever, but
so here's this. Put this video up there. The whole thing was forced. You could tell she felt really fucking awkward and didn't know what to do. He was playing into the bit. He was all in on this bit.
Yeah.
She looked super uncomfortable and awkward the entire time of like, oh my God, should I be doing this? And it's like, too late. You're already there, bitch.
Yeah. Put play those it. Shoulders back.
Play
babe.
That. Yeah. Look
be
at
confident.
That. Look at that slouch. Play that clip, Bomb, if you can.
Why does he look like Barry Gibb?
It's on purpose. All of this is on...
Young Gravy is that dude.
It's intentional.
How old is she?
Yeah.
42? Like, not even like...
Not that old.
Not that old.
Not old enough
I
to
think,
be queen
of the I think, is she 42?
But I mean,
she's 42, yes.
He's making out with her on the carpet.
No, no, no. But pan into this kiss. Like, she's not really into
it. Right.
He's kind of pulling back. And it's just like, oh, hey, we've got to do this. Tilt your head up.
She's still holding her clutch.
Exactly. And he's holding her chin up. If you back that up 5 seconds, Bob, he actually holds her chin up to his face.
It's no Megan Fox Machine Gun Kelly.
No.
That's for sure.
Oh, boy. And then she starts pulling back like that. Eesh.
Oh Lord!
Never
Lord.
Took an Elmo. He was
all in on the bits,
and she was
just
last
nuts.
Minute. I think was like, you know, got a text from the husband or something.
No,
last
he went on his Instagram shirtless during this and was like, "Yeah, you can have my leftovers, dog, or whatever." And I was like, "Oh my God, dude, you guys have a child." And now you're doing that on social media. And this guy is known for a song called Betty, which is just Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. And then he's badly rapping over it. I know that's part of his bit, but like, how far can you take that in life? Maybe 18 months tops.
Wasn't the dad on the show?
No, that was
D'Amelio.
Yeah, the D'Amelio father was on the show, yeah. Yeah,
they did have a podcast on Spotify. The parents did, by the way.
Who, them? The two of them?
They had a Spotify deal, and they also had a reality show on Snapchat as a family that was a behind the scenes of their entire family dynamic.
Snapchat is my top streaming.
I hate all of this so much.
Every
I hate every word that you just said. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
thing
yeah, yeah.
I hate. And it just keeps getting worse.
Or try this. It's amazing.
It's not. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I had a sobering conversation on the way over here. We're working with some folks over at YouTube to grow the channel and all that other stuff. And we have, you know, roughly 13, 14 shows at any given time. Some do well, some don't. And some we just can't book ads for, and it sucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, we're always looking for new shows. We've got Rob O'Neill's is a huge hit show for us right now, and it's great. Everybody loves Rob. He's an awesome storyteller. And we were talking about this other show on the drive over there. And he goes, hey, man, aren't you friends with so-and-so? And I was like, yeah, I'm friends with so-and-so. And they're like, what's their fucking story, man? I was trying to just give them money because they're big in like social media, right? Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is read like a 30-second spot on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And these guys are making like fucking 40, 50 grand a read. I mean, it's gnarly where you're just like, that's what Rogan gets. Oh, because you have millions of followers on all your social platforms. And they're just like, nah, don't really feel like it. I'm totally good. And he said one of the guys they had booked out for a Valentine's ad, and he recorded it in the middle of June and then posted it and then demanded to the company that he get paid because it went into a video. And they were like, that was a Valentine's Day ad for February 14th. Now, that day hasn't changed for a very long time.
And but you can never plan too far ahead.
Right. So here's where I'm going with all this. Like a Young Gravy or these fucking TikTokers or anybody big on YouTube and all that other shit, when it is just kind of given to you like that, you don't really care about it when, truthfully, you should be raking in all of the money at this point because it is all going to go away. And then you're going to see these guys like 10, 15 years later doing OnlyFans. Or, I mean, something super fucked up and dark. And that's kind of the gig because they didn't, I didn't really feel like reading a 30-second ad on internet.
Would you like to know some of Young Gravy's Spotify numbers real quick?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Fire away.
Yeah, okay, top five songs. Betty, not one of his best songs, only 75 million streams.
Okay.
Oops, 105 million streams. Mr. Clean, 215 million. Welcome to Chili's, 108 million. Whip a Tesla, 121 million.
Yep.
And you get titles.
About $7,000 per million streams, roughly, like an easy math.
Yep.
So that's a shit ton of money.
Yeah. Look, it's great and good for him. I'm just saying it's limited. Like, you know, look at Post Malone's last album, for example. I mean, that fucking bombed horrifically. And you're only as good as your next shit. And
Young Gravy is a better rapper than Post Malone.
Not Hot even take. Fucking close. Not even
well,
close.
Well, you just need to know, though, that Giorgio loves Young Gravy. Not even in a joking way.
Oh, like in a real way? For
oh,
real?
Like bebops. For a long time.
Pre-show, that's what he's listening to.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a long time has been bebopping with headphones, not even listening with everyone else.
No, no, no.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
Dude, that's...
So you're talking to the wrong... I mean, he's been trying to get all of us on the Young Gravy train for a long time. And we're like, shut up, Giorgio.
Yeah, I was all good on that.
And then there he is when he showed up with MILF, by the way, 42, not even that old.
No, he looks like he's 5 years younger than her. But I'm going to ask you a very serious question here. With Young Gravy, is it all a bit to be just an awful rapper doing like jokes? Is it a character?
It's comedy rap, yes, but it's also art. Like it's kind of like a mirror to society of like the flossing nature, the nostalgic nature, the hyper TikTok super niche focused, small minute focused. He's the new Riff Raff, and I think he's like way better than Riff Raff. Like he's like way better than
Lil B. That's fine. But what happened to Riff Raff?
I mean, he had a long career. He was on songs with Kendrick Lamar. Like, when you say how far can joke rapping take you, like, took you to a track with Kendrick.
Dave. Sort of.
Dave? Yeah. Yeah.
But Dave was smart enough to say, I need to do some television. I need to get some TV money going.
Well, that was his original plan all along.
Yes.
That's the reason he started rapping.
And that's what you should do. Like, that is a perfect plan.
Can I ask you guys a question? Did anyone like Bo Burnham's Inside?
A lot of people did.
No?
I'm not one of them, but a lot of people did.
I didn't care for it comedically, but I thought it was like well done.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a big Bo Burnham fan. Never have been, never will be. And I'm glad he has a huge fan base. I will say this, he works hard. Like really, really hard. And it's not my thing personally, but he's a hard worker and he deserves the success he has.
I will say, though, Welcome to the Internet is a banger. It's
yes.
One of the best. Yeah, like it's
yes,
so fucking
accurate.
Yes, or
White Woman's Instagram. It's yeah. really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just like juxtaposed with those super depressing shots of him. Like, it's very good.
Yeah, look, that all is right. Some people's thing and it's fine. It's just not mine. I'm just not a big Bo Burnham fan.
I was asking the boys, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but I can
because I know I
can,
you don't like him.
I can probably speak, though, for...
No, I was asking
75% of people probably like Bo Burnham, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think it's probably 75-25 like that guy? There's a huge base that hates him. I'm not going to outright hate the guy because he does work hard, extremely hard, and he's a pretty decent little director.
He's cool to like. Like, it's like cool to like him.
Okay. Oh, okay.
If that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yeah, because he almost ruined
it. But Young Gravy's super niche.
Yeah. Well, that's all they want is TikTok. That's all they want is TikTok songs.
I watched that come up. It was so great. Like, just so awesome.
He was ground floor Young Gravy.
That was very early Young Gravy. Does it make you feel cooler? No. I'm happy my man is like getting his sauce, getting the bag, you know, got the MILF queen. Like, he's living it. He's doing it. He's.
She doesn't look that good for 42.
She really doesn't. He can move up to a better one.
Now, by the way, who did I find out? Kristen Stewart.
Kay Stu?
Who's John Stewart? Not John Stewart. Rod Stewart's daughter. What's her name?
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart.
I think so. I don't know.
Anyway.
Just call her Rod Stewart's daughter because she's not famous enough.
Pull up a picture of her.
For us to care.
Kimberly? Kimberly Stewart. I'm sorry. Dating Disick now. But she's 43.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, like she looks fucking good.
She was out with the Kardashians and Paris Hilton and those guys. Like, she's been around for a while.
Like, that does not look right. Am I wrong?
She's been around for a while.
Am I biased?
What's that? He's rich as fuck.
Is that why?
Because like,
he's been openly terrible to women for so long.
He's just rich and
not
famous.
Not really attractive. Like, is he really that famous? Like, are people stopping for a Scott Disick
100%. They he's fucking cute. Love that guy.
He's like a poor man's Jared Leto.
Yeah, like, he's cute.
Yeah, he's a decent looking guy. He's got a shit ton of money.
Ever of him, by the
way. Oh, yeah. But he's a decent looking guy. He's got a shit ton of money. And, you know, he's still in that Kardashian world, whether you like it or not. And that social currency for her.
He has the babies, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, but she was doing some fucked up shit back in the day as well.
What?
Kimberly Stewart.
What fucked up shit?
She was just super whorish, but...
So what? She was fucking young.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? That's not fucked up shit.
She's not that young. Look up who she dated. It was fucking crazy.
Who cares?
Are you kink shaming right now?
Not
kink
shaming.
Whoa, bro. Fucked up shit is fucked up shit. Being a slut is not fucked up shit. So what was it?
Type in Kimberly Stewart. Type it in.
Am I wrong?
I mean,
am I wrong?
Am I wrong? You're not wrong.
Everyone needs a slut phase.
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
And you would like... You guys all fucking, he did some fucked up shit when he was in college. Yeah, he was in college, right. And everyone was fucking
heard some crazier stories about her. I'm not going to
Nobody wants to hear it.
Well, it's multiple men at a time, but who cares?
Oh, and what?
What?
See, the only one? Is she the only one that's done that fucked up shit multiple men at a time?
Look, let's have a little DP. Come on, Ross.
Was she married? Did she have kids? I mean, what the fuck is the problem?
I think she did.
No,
she
doesn't.
I think she has a kid, and I think she's divorced. Fact check that, Bob.
Please, Bob.
Sounds like you're kink shaming right now.
Please, Bob.
I'm definitely not kink shaming.
I mean, I'd go halvesies on that with a bro.
I know you would, Giorgio. And I don't even have to ask.
Case in point.
I don't even have to ask on that. Yeah.
Case in point. She has a daughter with Benicio del Toro.
There you go.
Oh. No fair.
I told you. Yeah. And that was a one night stand, I think. And it was
so
like,
fucking
oh, shit.
What?
All
is right, that cool. The fucked up shit?
Who No. There was some other. Look.
She's got a pretty okay dating history. Like, it's like a lot of.
Run through real quick.
C and D list people, and then one or two like big names.
Mm-hmm.
So she was once engaged to Talon Torero, Talon of Laguna Beach fame.
Yep.
Oh yes, okay.
Yeah, everyone, come on, sure. Talon. She's been in relationships with Tommy Lee.
Yep.
Scott Kahn.
Perfect.
And whomever Cisco Adler is.
Oh shit! That's the guy. Perfect. I told you about the guy who sits next to Jack Nicholson at the Lakers games.
Okay, there you go.
That's his son. He has the biggest ball sack of all time. His balls are like plums. And this went viral like back in the day. I mean, Giorgio, you want to see a set of balls on a human being? No one has bigger testicles, the physical size of a testicle.
Why are you saying
Cisco
that to Giorgio?
Adler. Because I know you're going to want to look this up. And it was when he was dating the girl from the OC, Misha Barton.
Oh, I love her.
How does it feel, Giorgio, for someone to be like, hey, Giorgio, you want to see some big balls?
After look, Giorgio's had an OnlyFans. If you had balls like this, it would be endless what you could do with them on OnlyFans.
Do you
want to
know the worst
OnlyFans.
Part, Jesse?
Hmm.
is that I wanted to challenge him and be like, yo, I have a friend who has bigger balls.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, okay. So he was talking to the right person.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So that's kind of the worst.
No, I know. It's just funny. Hey, Giorgio.
Can you pull up Cisco Adler's balls?
Well.
I'm serious. It's shocking. Like, this one will get you. I probably stared at this photo.
Are we talking lemons?
A good 15 minutes. Yes. They're massive.
Because I had a buddy who had a grapefruit once because he has to wear tight underwear. If he didn't, the flap would open up and it would just get bigger and bigger.
The flap would open
and
up?
Only on one of them.
I don't know about balls, I guess.
No.
What do you mean the flap?
Welcome, though. You're welcome.
Is a flap normal?
Yeah, no, they're definitely not.
Oh, look at that. Specimen. True athlete.
This guy was the original Young Gravy, dude. He was doing this bullshit back in the day. He was dating everybody, too. That's really funny. I haven't
thought he was about dating everyone. Guys, he was dating everyone.
No. Everybody's super
Kimberly
fucking
Stewart
famous.
Dates everyone, and it's...
Everybody...
She did fucked up shit.
Hang on. He's fucked up, too, dude. Like... He
didn't say that. You said he just dated a lot of people.
No, but it was crazy because it was like he's not a good looking guy. Nobody really understood the allure. He was kind of a Young Gravy-ish. Young Gravy is actually a pretty decent looking guy. Cisco Adler is not.
Right.
But he had these huge plum balls. And I was like, is that the thing?
I think Bob has like a kid restriction on his
computer.
His laptop
probably.
Or something.
After all the fucked up shit we've made him look
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
I think you can do that on a company computer, so
yeah.
I don't know this. This is
you just can't find the balls. Or...
I couldn't find it. But okay. When you airdrop stuff to this computer,
Adler's
it's Ross's iMac.
Balls.
So
yeah. True.
Look, I've already conceded. I'm going to jail. You know.
Yeah, I just need to know which computer to start searching how to kill my wife.
That's
how to
one.
Make it look like an
That's
accident. Yeah. Oh, okay.
How to build home to Mexico.
Yeah. Cheap flights to Mexico. Yeah.
But no, she was trying to be, so Kimberly Stewart, in all honesty, she was trying to climb up. She wanted to be Paris Hilton. She wanted to be Kim Kardashian. Those two kind of popped. She didn't. And then, because they all got reality shows. Remember that? It
yes.
was, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie. She was in that crew as well. And it was like all these weird, like famous daughters and they would hang out all over town and
yeah.
it was the same pack. Right.
Yes.
But Kimberly Stewart just couldn't do it.
You're talking
and
about
then,
the Simple Life?
Yeah. Simple Life is great.
I mean, that was probably groundbreaking entertainment at that time for girls and celebrity and...
Kimberly Stewart was not in it. So she was trying to get her own show. So she started kind of social climbing to get it. I think her and her brother ended up in like a VH1 thing where it was like they're sober or something like that. It never clicked for her, but good for her. Who's she dating now? How do we say? Scott Disick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll last.
Honestly, and sure you know, last. She's had some good hookups too, according to this website. She's
run them down.
Encounters with, I said, Del Toro.
Yep.
Reese Fons.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And then this is probably the crown jewel for her. Jude Law, circa 2008.
Oh, shit.
Dude,
there you go.
She got Jude Law and Benicio.
Yeah.
If you tell me Brendan Fraser was somewhere in there, then she's my new iconic hero.
No, it's kind of eclectic, to be honest. You got Travis Barker, Jason Mewes, and Jack Osborne, two friends of the company.
Yeah.
Wait.
I'll hit up Jack
after
the show.
Now we have like a weird connection, maybe why Scott is dating her, right?
Why?
Because Courtney is
married
to
Barker. Oh.
And now he's dating Barker's
look at
ex.
That.
But,
okay.
but look, how hard is it to find someone that probably dated Travis Barker?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But
yeah, in Hollywood, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you got one that probably not so wild about. This is her biggest regret. Joe Francis.
Oh, whoopsie daisy. I think she was even in one of the docs that are coming out.
Yeah. Hammer the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Yeah, but you got to use that. You got to use that social currency while you can as a celebrity. Olivia Wilde is doing it now where it's just like, all right, what do we have to work with here currency wise? And what can I trade in and make myself richer or look better?
Mm-hmm.
And that was Shia LaBeouf. So she threw LaBeouf under the bus. Now, I did a Patreon episode about Shia LaBeouf going method for the last movie. So method, in fact, that he converted to Catholicism, which I love.
And he's continuing to live.
Sure is.
The life of the cloth.
Yep.
I don't know what it is.
He's a Roman Catholic, which is very specific.
I don't
specific.
Know. Bob would know. I don't know about that stuff.
It is.
Catholic is Roman Catholic.
Oh,
that's
it
just,
is.
That's just another way to call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no other form of Catholicism?
No, it's just Roman Catholicism.
Yeah. Look how much stayed with me all these years, you know?
Yeah.
I'm big into it.
Sure.
Real big into it.
Sure.
But Shia is now, and he converted and everything else. The thing that I said on Patreon, by the way, subscribe. It's Drinking Bros Podcast on Patreon. Ton of wild shows on there that we definitely cannot put out in the public, or we would probably get arrested. I talked about him doing that movie and then doing these super honest interviews that no matter how many times this guy fucks up, he can come back with an open, honest interview, and everybody will be like, oh, shit, man, I love you as an actor. And now you're just super honest about all the fucked up shit you did. Sure, all is forgiven, which most celebrities don't do that. Mm-hmm. So he said he did John Bernthal's podcast, which is kind of only on Patreon.
Yeah, the real ones.
The real ones, yeah. And
although after he did the Patreon one, his Apple show shot up to like 3, I think, in the charts, something like that.
Well, it
three
was,
or four.
It was a pretty goddamn good interview.
But it wasn't Shia's on iTunes. You know what I'm saying?
Whose was it on iTunes?
So like you said, he does some for iTunes.
Yep.
And then he does Patreon.
Patreon,
ones.
Yeah.
So the Patreon one was Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
And then it.
Yeah.
Shot up his other one.
It sure did. Because the Patreon interview was so good where, I mean, he went deep into it. Like, he said the shit about the FKA Twigs girl. He's like, I did it. He's like, I probably fucked that person up.
Yeah, that's what he's, yeah.
And, but I mean, it got even deeper. Remember Honey Boy, the movie Honey Boy?
Mm-hmm.
Which we loved.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great film.
It was a great film.
It's on Amazon Prime if you haven't seen it. He is playing his father as the way he grew up with his father treating him during Even Stevens and all that other stuff and everything else. In this interview on the podcast, he said, I did my dad dirty and he wasn't that bad to me. And I exaggerated a lot of it. He was like, I maybe got spanked, but I never got hit by my father. And I made him look like an alcoholic and all this other shit.
And was he not?
Shia LaBeouf said no.
I think he was saying the physical abuse in it he made up.
Right. And he said at the end of that portion of it, he said, I feel bad. Now this dude's got to live his life as Shia LaBeouf's dad, who is just this huge piece of shit. And I made him that way, and I shouldn't have. And I regret it.
I thought he was dead.
Don't know. Yeah,
Bob,
strange.
Bob, can you see if Shia LaBeouf's dad is dead?
So, you know, as you're looking at all of it, I don't think his dad is dead, dude. That'd be dark, Jesse.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought he made this movie, you know, like to kind of deal with.
Alive.
Oh,
okay. They're alive, James.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like a serial killer, by the way.
Are you
Jeffrey LaBeouf?
Yeah,
Jeffrey LaBeouf.
You're killing off people now on the show? That's
no,
weird,
I'm just
dude.
Asking.
It's dark.
Yeah, I think he's alive.
He's okay. Alive. And so he said he made his dad feel like a piece of shit and everything else. And now this guy's got to live his life
Wait,
like that.
This guy, he sounds even more like a serial killer. Listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey LaBeouf, Vietnam War veteran and former professional clown.
Yeah. Did you see Honey Boy? So fucking good.
So good.
So many checks against this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he's saying that he exaggerated parts of it and blah, blah, blah. He said he even sent his dad the script. And his dad was just like,
shit.
You know, I can't really sign off on this, but you're going to do it.
I don't know why I thought like the only way that he could do that movie about his dad in that way is if his dad had passed away.
No. So that's why the movie was great and relevant at the time where you're just like, all right, shit, that's crazy, man. But anyways, also in this interview, he talks about, what's the new movie? The Darling movie?
Don't Worry, Darling.
Don't Worry, Darling. That's coming out. Olivia Wilde was the director of it. Now, she said she had fired him because of his behavior and everything else, and she wanted to keep a safe space on set, and it's going to be professional, and we're all concerned about the actors and everything else. And he said, no, you're lying, and I would appreciate it if you stop lying about it. That would be great, and not use me as social currency. And he said, I've got the receipts for it. So he had the text messages that she sent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also had a video of her talking about, please come back to the project. Mm-hmm. I know it couldn't work, and I know the other girl, who is the lead of the movie, this Florence Pugh chick, who's also playing Madonna. Or no, she was the one who turned down Madonna in the biopic. That was originally offered to her. She said, I think she just needs to check herself or whatever.
No, she said we can get Miss Flo to get her shit together, something like this.
Yeah. But. So either way, threw her under the bus, threw Shia under the bus, does the movie, has sex with Harry Styles, and then now they're together, breaks up a marriage. She's got a couple kids. Fuck them. Who gives a shit? And then all of it came out, and then now you find out Olivia Wilde's just a piece of shit, and you're just like, all right, well.
She also said some dumb shit about getting served.
Oh,
yeah.
She was like, there's a reason I left Jason Sudeikis, and that's why. Like, of course he would serve me my papers during a...
That was pretty aggressive.
But now I'm even wondering if that was real, or if she was trying to, like...
It was not.
Because she's doing so many things to make this movie, like,
so something. So here's the deal with the lawsuit. Been in a bunch of them. I know how that goes. They tell you when they're going to serve you, and then they ask you where you think that person might be. To me, there is no doubt that he said, cool, man, she's going to be in Vegas. She's going to be on stage at this exact moment, and that's when security won't really be there. So go, and you're good to go. And that's my guess.
Interesting.
But
yeah. The other thing, by the way, is... they had been in ongoing negotiations about this. This is a custody situation.
Yeah, because they weren't married.
Yeah. So the fact that she was served, I think, means that she just wasn't responding to him.
Yes.
About his children.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, he wanted them with him while she's doing all, running all around the world with Styles. And
so even if he did choose that moment,
it's because she wasn't responding in a normal way at any other
thing.
It's like that is your literal last resort when someone is like getting served like that, right?
Yeah, and I can tell you this just from because I've done it before. There was a lawsuit because all of these movies we've done, almost every single one of them has had a lawsuit or two in them because people are trying to get the production money. Musicians are fucking dog shit because they're not making money in real life and they'll try to come after you for something. So we got sued. A movie that we did got sued. I got served. And then I countersued, and then they were serving them, and they go, hey, when do you want to serve them? And I was like, well, I know homeboy works on Sunday, and his wife is home with their kids. Serve his wife on a fucking Sunday and ruin their entire weekend, and that's exactly what happened. Because I was real pissed off about that goddamn suit. So, yes, you can choose the time and date of it, and you try to give them the best window of time when they're home.
Yeah.
And that's it. So that's, I have no doubt that that actually went down.
So the thing about Don't Worry, Darling, Now is that if I hadn't have known that LaBeouf was going to play the part of Harry Styles, I probably would have been fine with it. But now knowing that it could have been LaBeouf, I can't watch it the same way. I'm going to be like, there's no way that this movie is going to be as good.
It's a hard one. It's like DiCaprio backing out, and you're just like,
right, and you're like, okay, so
Timothy Chalamet. Well, fuck.
All right, I'll give it a shot, but the whole time I'm going to be thinking about what Boof could have done with it.
Oh, Boof would have. Come on, Wolf. Everybody likes the Boof.
Oh my god.
Swap that around. With the LaBeouf in there, yes, it would have been a masterclass. Because I think she's a pretty good director, and I think she's pretty talented. People love the first movie that she did, the Booksmart movie, and clearly, that's how she got a decent enough budget for this. The trailer looks great. That Florence Pugh chick is a great actress. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the supporting cast in there, there was somebody else who's super dark in there that's kind of the lead asshole. It looks dope. But now knowing that LaBeouf is in there, yeah,
now
I'm
look.
With you.
I think Chris Pine in it.
Yes,
oh,
Chris
yes,
Pine.
Oh, yes, yes.
So,
and he looks super fucking creepy in it.
Yeah, but I mean... How good of a little director, so condescending, but how good of a little director can she be if like a lot of her cast hates her and she's sleeping with the main character?
If you're talented, you can overlook it as long as the overall project is great. Nobody will really care about any of that shit. And like, I've worked with some super talented people that were fucking awful to work with, but I was like, all right, great, I'll get through it. I don't care because I know it's going to be good, and I don't really give a shit at the end of the day. But
And why do you say she's a good little director?
Her?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have pictured it before going in. Would you, Olivia Wilde? A girl who grew up in the back of a van and got married to a prince in, like, Italy to be a film director. Like, you know, you never really know. You never really know. But you also don't know who's behind you and who's behind that camera.
Right.
Because sometimes you're too big to fail. And if you get a great DP, look, a great DP will make anybody look good.
That was another blind item that, like, she wasn't, like, pretty much doing anything. She just, the DP did it.
Hey.
I feel
There's got to be a lot of directors like that, right?
Oh, there's a ton.
Maybe they'll be, like, they'll do a lot of producing, maybe, and they'll direct the actors.
Yes.
But as far as cameras.
The look and where.
No. 100%.
And then the lighting, like.
If you flop it over into comedy, comedy, you really only care about the dialogue. That's why most comedies don't look that great. Todd Phillips is the only one with The Hangover that it was like, hey, we're not really doing improv. I want to make this look amazing. But it's not as funny as an Anchorman, because in order to do that, you have to have multiple takes, improv, all that stuff. And you just can't make it look that cool, because you can't hit those same beats every time camera-wise and timing-wise. But with a drama, you certainly can. So yeah, if there's a great DP, you're good to go.
Have you forgotten about Edgar Wright, who I think is probably the king of physical comedy? The There and Back Again, the Over the Fence, I mean, he's just the man of it.
Shut up,
dude. Nobody's watching that shit.
Talking about?
Shaun of the Dead.
Fuzz are great, but if we're going for, and they're
is good. That who we're talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're super good, but like the movies that make you laugh out loud. Fucking
I
Wedding
didn't know
Crashers,
any of the ones
Anchorman,
you were naming.
Yeah, but Wedding Crashers, Anchorman, fucking Superbad, Pineapple Express, all of those movies.
Yeah, that's
are just,
like the American style, over the shoulder, medium wide comedy. They do a bunch of like improv,
bunch of takes, over
yeah.
and over and over
yeah,
again.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a Judd Apatow method. Where I like
Adam McKay.
Like the physical comedy, like in Shaun of the Dead, where like he's casually scrolling through everything, and there's like the apocalypse on the news, and he doesn't care, goes past it, then looks over, and is like, his neighbor's getting ate. Like, I find that like kind of funny.
I love
it.
Him.
It is
I love
funny,
him.
But you're not doing any improv in those because you're trying to make it look great. So yes, if you're talking about what it looks like comedy wise, it's great. And then if you cast those guys over and over again, those guys are so fucking talented that they'll elevate it as well. But I'm just talking about in general. 90% of comedies look like shit.
Register just said Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which is one of my favorites of all time.
Is it really?
Oh, I liked that.
Yeah,
movie.
It was a decent movie.
Yeah,
it was very long, but it was a decent movie.
Do you consider Wes Anderson a comedy? His movies, comedies.
No, I've never really laughed out loud. You've gotten a few like, okay, yeah, I like.
What
that.
Would it be like?
They're comedies.
What
though,
is
no?
the?
They are, and I enjoy those films, but that's not what I'm. Dying laughing of or quoting later. I don't have any. I don't think I have. Like, I know one quote from a Wes Anderson movie. Do you?
No. Every reaction to a Wes Anderson joke is.
Yes, clever.
That's
clever.
It. Yep.
Oh, that looks cool.
100%.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, that's cool. Look
their
what they
characters
did
really.
I've solved the puzzle of that joke.
Oh, they're talking really fast.
Or very
How
slow.
Impressive.
Do you not know where you're going today, sir? Well, let me find you. And then it's an Indian guy who's a bellhop or something. And you're like, all right, cool. But I love the movies. I do enjoy his movies, but I'm not going to watch them to laugh out loud. It's a nice, oh, this looks beautiful. All the actors are great. Storyline's interesting. Even the last one I thought was really good. That went straight to HBO, whatever that one was. I mean, a lot of people say they're all the same, but sure. It's just a slight variation.
Freddie Got Fingered? Classic.
You want to talk about going for it? My God, man. Whipping a baby around on an umbilical cord?
So good.
But it's just not going to make me pee my pants, you know, with laughter.
The only place for comedy is hip-hop.
No, that is not true either. Young Gravy is where...
The only true, like, slapstick comedian, like, fart jokes, pull your dick out, like...
Yeah.
You should love... I'm going to turn you into a Young Gravy fan.
No, you're not. If he has good songs, sure. But it's like, if I'm looking for comedy rappers, it's Lonely Islands. Like that, those guys knocked it out of the park.
We can go TV, though. TV that looks really good that is comedy, like Atlanta.
There's two types of things. Atlanta and like certainly like another show that is absolutely a comedy. I don't care what anyone says. The Boys. There's just not a lot of improv in that, though.
No,
it's tightly
not.
Scripted.
Yes, look, there's an art to that as well. Having a script that's so good that it lives on its own. Atlanta, that last season that I just watched, it was the Twilight Zone. I didn't laugh one single time in that. It was every single episode was different. The entire cast wasn't in, I think, 7 episodes, and there was only like 11 of them.
Did you like it, Delco?
Yes.
Yeah, because no one else did.
Hang on.
What?
I'm saying you liked it because it was like not good.
I liked it, but it wasn't.
What?
They were just one-offs of characters that aren't in the show.
It was artsy. I mean, if you were super high and watching it, you could find like this really great like reason why he was doing all of it, and like, you know what I mean? If you wanted to, I just can't work that
hard right
now.
Did you ever watch the short film Clapping for the Wrong Reasons he did with Chance the Rapper, where he was like this fictional character, Rick Ross's son, and like the FBI was looking for him?
It
was like
it's
literally about nothing, and about this girl who's just eating cereal in the living room and he doesn't know where she came from. And it sounds like the season of Atlanta.
Yeah. And I did not like that, and I will not like that clip, I'm sure.
I know why Jesse hated this season of Atlanta
why?
In particular. But you knew half the storylines, and they were ripped from podcasts.
I mean, I only knew a couple, and that wasn't really it. It was just like, I just didn't like it. because, again, like, you just needed to have time. Like, if you have time, you're single dude, you can, like I'm saying, you can smoke some weed, you can watch, you can find all the nuance, you can be like,
there
blah,
is
blah,
no
blah.
Storyline. Yeah.
You really wanted to take the time, there is probably some really crazy shit in there, and like, it is probably so far over my head and intellectually, whatever. I just didn't have time to go there. I just needed to like have something be good and funny, and it wasn't. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. A lot of people, I'm sure, had the time and the weed to like it.
And the guest stars they're able to get, by the way, they're doing it on their own just because they think it's hilarious. And
it's good.
Skarsgård was in the last episode.
Was he?
Yes.
They had Liam Neeson play Liam Neeson.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You didn't at that?
No, I did like that scene.
No, I liked it.
I did like that scene, yeah.
But the characters weren't even in that.
No, I did like that scene.
End episode with Skarsgård, none of the leads were in that show at all.
But again, Delco, like I had to work really hard to get to that one Liam Neeson scene where I was like, oh shit, this is awesome. I just don't.
Yeah.
I just don't
know. Liam Neeson dropping at you people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Racist Liam Neeson. Like it was so good. I get it.
Justin Bartha from The Hangover, he was on that trip to the White House with me, and I asked him about it. I said, what was it like working with those guys from Atlanta? Because I just saw it, I think, 2 nights before I left, and I was like, what the fuck? And he goes, yo, man, it's awesome. But he goes, they literally just called me, and he goes, I don't know them, nothing. They thought I would be right for this particular thing.
And he was 100%.
He was, and he goes, you go and shoot it, and then that's kind of it. And he goes, it's... probably the dream if you're a Donald Glover, where you can literally do whatever you want. There is no notes. There's no nothing.
Right.
And he goes, they're just doing what they want and turning it in. And I think that was the perfect way to sum up that entire season, where every episode, they just did whatever they want. They weren't in any of it. I think Donald Glover himself was only in 3 total episodes. Total of the entire season, and it's I don't know what to say about
it. The girl was super weird, and
did you hate the Teddy Perkins episode then?
That was the one, the Michael Jackson episode from
the previous. No, I didn't hate it because the whole season before that was normal, and then it was like you just hit me with that in the end, and I was like, what the fuck? And it was a crazy ride, right? This one was very disjointed, and there was no through line for me to follow because my little brain can't jump around like that, Delco. You need to give me like a through line. And again, like I was saying, the girl was super weird, and I loved her in the other seasons, and they just made her this fucking flaky.
Well, I saw an interview with her. That's how she is in real life.
Well, that's not how she was in the first season.
I totally understand it. And like, if you're looking at it from an artist's perspective, I think it's rad that somebody's giving him the ability just to do whatever he wants, not have any storylines that are connected. The characters don't have to be in the show or anything else. The entire season took place in Europe. The show was called Atlanta. And yeah, congratulations on doing it. And I thought the episodes individually were cool. And I came back and watched the whole season. You checked out of it. And I'm sure season or the last season that's coming up will be the same.
I had to watch Curb. I had to watch like all right. kinds of other like way better
And by
shit.
The way, they just renewed another episode or a season of Curb. So you're good to go on that.
Yeah, he can make shows as long as he wants.
He sure can. And the head
Whenever,
of the head of the however. Network said it. He said, look, when he wants to leave, he can leave. That's it. And yeah.
Brilliant.
But he's one of a dying few. Now, what I'm curious is for you guys, because there's a lot of people in the chat talking about this. The new Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys have watched it at this point. Did it live up to the hype and what you guys wanted it to be?
People look weird.
Because they're older?
No, they're ugly.
They're ugly people.
Dan doesn't like the casting.
This is what I've heard, though, because I brought up to someone else who was watching it, I brought up Delco's theory. I was like, so I haven't watched it, but my friend watched it. And he said that, what?
No, you can finish.
But like, he said, again, I'm not a Game of Thrones, but I was like, tell me if I'm wrong. It's just that no one's real good looking in it. And she was like, oh, yeah, I guess no, yeah.
The one dude's really hard to look at.
Yes, I think that's what she said.
Yeah. He hates the Doctor Who guy.
Yeah.
Who has like a clay face, just like a weird brick face.
It's like, I got to look at this dude every week.
What were you going to say?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, how are you watching this one? And you're like, man, I miss like hot ass Sean Bean.
Sean Bean was like, you don't have to be hot. You just have to be like.
Yeah, he's
of them look fine.
He's a good enough looking dude, Sean Bean. Yeah. I'll side with you on Sean Bean for
also,
sure.
Also, halfway through the season, they're going to jump forward 10 years, so you're getting a whole new cast.
Great. And you know why they're doing that? Because everyone's like, dang, all these fucking people are ugly. Like,
hard to look at.
You've got to give me at least a Momoa, a fucking, you know what I mean?
But for the nerds. So,
for the nerds.
Wait, and to that point, by the way, in one of the meetings with the YouTube guys, I mean, we went through what people's faces looked like on thumbnails and everything else. And they go, they didn't know your name or anything about you or what we did. They were like, the blonde one.
Normal.
They were like, she's great for thumbnails. Lean on her. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, don't put her in shows. but you can use her face.
I like this. I like where we're going.
Yes, thank you.
Like probably more historically accurate if they're trying to go for that, because like everyone back then was probably uglier.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. I heard there's a lady with a massive underbite situation. Oh,
yeah, but we're talking about a fantasy show with dragons. We don't need that.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be a fantasy show anyways, let's make it like... sexy,
more
fantasy?
Digestible, yes.
Yeah.
There are, it'll get better. The dragons are super sick. They're awesome. As far as the lore and like the Easter eggs and the things for the fans to find and continually watch the show and love it and like make YouTube videos about it and make podcasts about it, it's chock full of all that. Like my YouTube feed is filled with episode 2 breakdowns, WTF 10. Moments.
10.2 million people watched the last episode.
It's massive. Look, it's a massive hit for those guys. And that was one of the only IPs that they carried over into this Discovery deal. And it'll keep going as long as the ratings are good. And
well,
what do you mean?
There's going to be one bigger IP.
Which one?
That launches this month.
Who is it?
Ross.
Oh, Lord of the Rings? Yeah.
Really?
The biggest IP ever, yep. TV show, launches this month on Amazon Prime.
And they spent... No. So they
Lord of the Rings.
Hang on. They spent $1 billion, with a B, billion dollars on this series for Amazon Prime. If this doesn't work, Amazon Prime streaming will probably collapse off of that.
It's
you
not
know what's
work
weird?
I don't think it's going to work
either.
I'm with you.
You know what's weird? It's completely made up stuff. Yet we cannot even make something else up. It's not real. Why do we still have to do Lord of the Rings and still have to do fucking Game of Thrones?
I'm with you.
It's all fake.
They're prequels.
You don't have to keep with like a historical... What's happening?
It's IP.
Yeah, and
that's all it is.
If you're watching like the Game of Thrones basically just so you can be like, they said fire and ice. They said fire and ice really quick. They said fire and ice. That's like a reference to the like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Just yeah. End it. End yeah. It all.
But that kind of made Better Call Saul better.
That's the fandom. That's the frenzy.
There was yeah. Easter eggs.
If it doesn't become its own thing, like Better Call Saul, then it's fucking trash.
Guys, it's not Nerd Revolution right now. Jesus, pull it together. What if we did just let them like nerd out fighting
for
in there
entire
for like an entire
of
episode?
Game of Thrones?
Actually, I'd be here for
By
it.
The way, if you're wondering why the ratings are so high, that's it right there. This
I
is
know.
Everything behind the scenes after they watch the shows, because it's more than that. Giorgio touched on it briefly, but it is the podcast. It is the message boards.
Be able
it
to
is
talk
the,
about it. Yeah.
Yes, that is exactly what all of that is for. That's why the ratings are massive. And that's why it will sadly probably never end. And it's, what are they, they're doing what, 4 or 5 spinoffs of this too? Of Lord, or not Lord of the Rings, but Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the White Walker one. I think they had 7 originally in production. They scrapped a couple. So basically it's coming down to Disney's got Star Wars.
Yep.
Amazon Prime's got Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And then we've got Game of Thrones over here. And it's just going to be like, yeah, yeah, it's
how
it's
much great. Juice can we squeeze out of this?
So much
bullshit.
Because the lore is so thick, like, especially with Lord of the Rings. Like that man just like wrote like stuff that was so unnecessary, like for like what they needed to tell in the stories. Like it's just millions and millions of years. Like it's nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan's muting me by the way right now, so he's pretty much done with this.
He's what?
He's done with me. He's muting me.
Oh, he's muting you. Yeah, no, no.
He's all done. And but look, that's what everybody's talking about, and it's gangbuster ratings. I think so. What is it? 10.3 or 10.4? I forget what the opening number was. Millions wise, that 10. Will only be behind Yellowstone. Yellowstone came in at I think 14.3. So those are the two biggest shows on television. Nothing you can really do about it. Original shit is gone. Even Yellowstone. Let's call it for what it is. There's going to be 90 spinoffs of that. I mean, there already is. What are we on, the third one now?
But let's be real. Like, is it the same people, demographic-wise, that are watching
Yellowstone?
Yellowstone.
Absolutely not.
And...
Uh-uh. By the way...
My parents watch both.
Okay. Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then maybe, yeah. It's just people that watch stuff.
Paramount Plus just signed with Walmart Plus, which I didn't know was a streaming app. And... yeah, get ready for the Yellowstone wash jeans. They're coming.
Well, I think they'll have a shop button so you can like if you like what somebody's wearing, you can like
you
press
can
it.
Pick
and
it
then,
up and at Walmart.
I always
and
wondered
then
if that was gonna
order.
Happen. Yeah, and it'll come right to your house in 48 hours.
Right.
So if you want Rip's outfit, boom, you mm-hmm. can get it.
Mm-hmm. If you want the recipe from last week's episode, it comes at the Walmart grocery center.
Oh shit. That's fun.
That's yeah. not true, but it's a very
yeah, yeah, good
oh,
yeah.
that'd be great, though.
That would
if they're all sitting down having a meal, and then you can order the meal. I want to have what the Duttons had last night for dinner.
This is incredibly depressing.
Right.
Man, that's dark, isn't it?
Right, but young gravy with MILF is uplifting.
It's all shit.
Yeah.
It's all just utter shit.
Yeah.
And it's sad, dude. We talked about this in Drinking Bros Sports yesterday with... the live golf and college football and everything else, like, it makes me sad because tradition, everything is gone. It's just about money now. And it, hey, great. Who's got the most money? What is it? Yeah, all right, cool, man. Let's make that and back it up and do it. And I'll have what the Duttons are having. You can probably have what your favorite soccer players are having pregame if you want that pretty soon. NFL already exists. We had the guy on maybe 3 years ago for headphones. He owns a headphone company, and you know the pregame where you watch the players warm up on the field?
Sure.
Or on the basketball court?
Sure.
All of them are wearing headphones, so now they're paying the players so that you can listen to their playlist of what they're warming up to on Spotify. Pretty soon we're just going to be inside these people, like injected inside of them,
right.
Like inner space. And we're going to get to live in our favorite celebrity for like 2 or 3 days and see what happens. What? Wouldn't you want to be inside Johnny Depp just
no.
for... 48 hours.
No.
Why not? lot of booze, a lot of blow going back. That'd be fun.
You're saying like a B's John Malkovich situation?
Yeah. Yes, just okay. For a good 48 hours, right? You just get injected.
Well, you started out being like, you know, oh, it's sad, oh, this, and this, and then you just went off the fucking rails, like you're being injected into other people.
I think that's where we're headed now.
No.
We've got to be inside the people now
to
move forward.
No.
Otherwise, we're stuck in this world, and I think the next world is to be injected inside of somebody in a little tiny capsule.
No, you're skipping so many steps.
No.
No?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. Because if you think about it, where we're headed, I think celebrities will start selling their sperm. I want Brad Pitt's jack-off juice. You know, like, great, I want a Pitt baby. How much is that going to cost me in the future? Mm-hmm. I think all of these things will probably be implemented at some point where it's just like, all right, cool. In a small way, they're doing it now on like Facebook. Hey, do you want to have dinner with Brad Pitt? That was the latest one I saw on Omaze. I've still never met one person in my life who has won one of those Omaze things. Oh, the tricked out truck or the lunch with Brad Pitt. Or you get to play nine holes with George Clooney and Lake Cuomo. I've never seen any one person be like, holy shit, look at, I won. I was the one who did that.
I'll do you one better.
I think it feels like a lottery that doesn't exist.
Yeah. I don't know what Omaze is.
Oh, really? It's that company that, it's got all the cool shit, and they're like, oh, hey, you can have, one of them was lunch with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. You could pitch him a script, pitch him a movie idea at lunch. Wouldn't that be fun? Dave Matthews was one of them. I mean, they do all kinds of celebrity giveaways, and all you have to do is donate like $20, and then you're just buying like lottery tickets essentially for this.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but I've never seen one person who has won. Not one. Or they'll show you some tricked out truck. It was, what was the last one? The new Hummer, the electric Hummer that all of us ordered 2 or 3 years ago that has still never been made. They were going to give that away, and then you got the tricked out truck. But I've never seen one person just be like, man, I want it from Omaze, dude. It was awesome.
Right.
I feel like it's a conspiracy at this point. And I know because I did it once. I did it one time. You could stand on the sideline with Urban Meyer at an Ohio State game. And I was like, well, there goes $20.
Yeah, but like, aren't you uncomfortable with like coming into a situation as just like a peon plebe? Like,
I'm glad you brought that up.
Because it's just, you're going to pitch them.
Nope.
Do you actually think that Ben and
No. But with
Matt are going to even listen
not
to
at
what
all.
The fuck you have to say?
So with the Urban Meyer one, because that's the only one I did, I had it pre-planned in my mind if I had won what I was going to say. And I was going to be like, look, I'm not going to fucking fan out. I just want to hang out on the field and watch the fucking game. If we can get a pick, rad. If not, I just want to stay on the field and watch the whole fucking game because it's dope as shit.
Right.
And I would tell him that in advance. And that way I'm like, man, you don't have to give me the fucking song and dance or show me where the flag is and all. I don't need to know any of it. I don't need to see your office. I don't need to do any of that stuff. I just want to watch the game.
Any of that stuff, like the winning a dinner with or winning, I just go like, how fucking uncomfortable are you? Like, you know they don't want to do it. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants to be there.
Maybe,
win a dinner.
Maybe, who knows?
Play 18 holes with.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
That person, they're like, you don't hear in your mind, this is what I hear, maybe it's my insecurity, but all I hear is them just talking shit about having to go and play 18 holes with this fucking loser. I bet they suck, whatever. Like, that's what I've...
18 holes, too? That's a good 3.5 hours out there.
More than that.
Yeah. Well, if you're playing fast and you got a cart.
No, I mean, if you got people in front of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. I'm sure they call in advance and they're like, yo, how much do I have to pay to clear out the course? Like, I just want to keep this fast and tight here, you know?
Win a
whole 3.5-4 hour day.
Go on a fucking pontoon boat ride. Link up, get stuck in a cove with no. Nobody wants to hang out with you. I promise.
Our new Patreon tier, hang out with Jesse for a day. $50.
For a day in her whole life.
And
yeah.
I'm just gonna be out. I'm gonna tell you.
Take him to the grocery store.
I'm gonna tell you right off the bat. I'm not looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
But if you still want to do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you still are like, I don't care. I don't care if she wants to do it. I don't care. I'm going to go anyway. Come on down.
So our buddy, Chris, does those celebrity bookings for things like that, mm-hmm. you know, when that was big in like the 2000s. And then later on, pretty much up until the pandemic, I guess, they would pay celebrities to go to these clubs, right? And the deal was you had to stay for 3 or 4 hours. I went to one of them with him and I was like, what is this really like? They put like an egg timer down, and it's as soon as it is ding, you can leave. You are out of there on the dot, but you have to fulfill that obligation. And they'll usually take pictures of the clock and everything else. And then they were way the fuck out of there at that time. There was another one where I knew somebody who rented Eva Longoria. This is in the height of Desperate Housewives.
Rented her
for 1 hour.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And so like, I go, what was the, how much was it? And I said, what was it for? It was an executive's birthday party. He was a huge fan of hers. And all he wanted her to do was walk out with his birthday cake at this restaurant, sing happy birthday to him. He blew out the candles. They cut up the cake. She had one glass of champagne and then she bounced.
She did.
And it was $150,000 and it was for 1 hour. Mm. And, it's good money if you can get it. Now, Beyonce and those guys are doing, like, you know, king shit in for the Saudis or, you know, birthday
Someone
parties.
Someone said
or...
paddleboard with Delco.
Yeah, but then I can give myself some space.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like, that's not something, like, you're not going to be on the same paddleboard. You know what I mean? Like, he can be like, oh, sorry, man, I lost you or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
sorry about it.
No, but it's like a dinner, a thing, of 18 holes, like all of that. No.
Can I nominate something worse?
Please.
Sure.
The grown men that go to, like, All-Star or, like, fantasy camp.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's a big thing.
Go to like baseball camp.
I've got
40.
Yep. I've got friends who have done it. And if you have the money to do it, sure. I mean, it helps the club and all that other stuff, I guess. But I would feel uncomfortable doing it, Delco. For sure. Now, if you want to trot me out for batting practice, you know. Fine. Give me 10 pitches. Let's see if I can go
deep
on one of them.
They have to be on the same board facing each other.
On what?
Holding the same. The rules are they have to be on the same board facing each other.
Who?
Holding the same paddle. If you win the paddle board.
Imagine how awful
Justin Timberlaking, right? With just the legs. Facing each other. Holding the same paddle. I like it, guys.
It's amazing.
I like it. I think Delco would be into it.
Yeah, that would be fun, huh? Just you're facing the other person the whole time.
Buy all my crypto and win
a paddleboard extravaganza.
But they have to share the paddleboard, right?
And you never break eye contact.
And use the same paddle.
Aww. You never break eye contact
Cute,
the entire time.
Huh?
Yeah. If anyone here could do it,
it would be Dan. It's not going to be who you want it to be, Dan.
Sure isn't. I have a story, and I'll tell you off
air. It's not going to be some cute girl that wins the contest, okay?
I got a story, and I'll tell you off air.
It's going to be Greg.
Yeah, it's going to be Craig.
It's going to be Craig, not even Greg. It's going to be Craig.
I did one of them one time. Jesse knows.
I will say, like, Craig or Greg. You know, like, if people that we know.
No, not that.
I wouldn't mind doing it. I'm saying people that you don't even know entering the thing.
Remember? That one thing that
to? Oh, yeah, I didn't do that.
I did.
You did.
I got rented, and it was strange. It was very strange.
And your car, I think, was thrown into the deal.
Yeah, I got bought as a pledge.
Did you really?
In college.
That problematic
shit. You got traded from one fraternity to another?
No. You could just, like, buy pledges for a day.
Bill Schofield says, $5 for my day towards kayaking and whale watching with Ross. Mimosas on me.
Bill, that is fine.
You can throw the kayak out the window.
We would hang out with anyone, you know what I mean? Like,
any of our
listeners, people that we've hung out with before, like, there's not one person that
this
I would be like, no, I won't hang out with you.
The time that I did it was pre-podcast, all
I'm
that
saying,
stuff. Like, it was as an actor, and yeah.
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 Anyone that would you know, enter in our contest, like, would know us. So it wouldn't be the same thing. It's people that enter, like, a Brad Pitt, a thing, like, that they have no idea who these people are.
I'll tell the entire story on Patreon. How about that? I've never told it. I'll tell it on Patreon.
Nobody's asking.
Yeah. No, this is a crazy one, dude. Oh, like, okay. You remember that night?
I do. You didn't talk about it already?
What's that? No.
Oh.
Because I feel bad if it goes out in public and that person's listening.
Why? I mean, it was...
Patreon is Patreon.
It was exactly what you would think it was.
No, sure wasn't. Okay. Sure wasn't. But yeah, it's a fun story for sure.
Okay.
Oh, I almost died, but whatever, man.
It's a great story
for Patreon. Drinking Bros Podcast on Patreon.
There you go.
Just go there. There's a bunch of crazy shit. All right, Joel, is Joel here?
Yeah.
Are we doing another? Yeah, he's right there. Why'd you say no?
What?
I said, is Joel here?
Oh.
You said no.
Oh, yeah, I did?
He's right there.
I did not.
Joel, child fights. Are we doing another child fights on Patreon?
Yes.
Awesome.
There's more?
That was fun. Holy shit, that got wild. That got real wild. YouTube, because you have the option of using YouTube as the back end or Vimeo.
I would probably use Vimeo for that.
Well, one. Joel uploaded it to YouTube. That got ripped. That got pulled down real quick.
Joel?
About 10 seconds later, that was gone.
Need you to get... Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
That's going on Vimeo, bud.
Going on Vimeo, bud.
You know better than that. There was midgets slapping each other, like, and one was a child versus an adult. Like, yeah. Joel tried to put that up on the back end of YouTube. No way, brother. That's Vimeo or nothing, dude. Come on. Come on. But Jabes, that's our show today.
Oh.
You know, we're all done with this. Oh. We're all done with the show today. It was fun. We learned a lot. We laughed a lot. Talked a lot about celebrity social currency. What are you looking for?
I was just looking at the time. It just flew by. I didn't even think it was an hour.
There's
yet.
Shows that we do that just kind of fly by, and you're like, holy shit, here we are.
All right.
Look at us. A couple of silver spoons. We did it. We did it. Go to hardafseltzer.com. The site is live again. There's only 300 cases left of the original ones. And then Jesse and I are actually going to Nashville on Thursday to test the final flavor. You will have a show on Thursday. We'll just pre-record it tomorrow because we care. Damn it. And it'll be on the old YouTube channel. This afternoon, we have college football preview show week one. I think we'll do that first. That way, we'll kind of go back and forth on the channels and then go drinking bros after that. Should be fun. A lot of people gambling. Everybody's getting out of town for the weekend to go to some of these games. We will be there. I don't know if Big Dick Danoff is in the chat, but if you were at Ohio State, we will be at his tailgate. Hit up Richard Danoff. He will give you the map. He's made a nice little map out of it. We will be there drinking hard AF seltzers all day. And I say all day because it's a night game, and we actually get to enjoy it. And then, Jabes, the weather's nice.
Mm.
75 at kickoff.
Oof.
Come on, dude.
I will be in a parka.
That's what I was wondering.
I will need to bundle up.
By the end of the game, it's going to be 68. Will we be too cold where it's like, oh, no, what do we do? I don't know. So I woke up and took, you know, I usually take the kids to school, and it was 80 when I took Jagger. And I was like, oh, I gotta turn off the AC. It's only 80 out here. What am I doing? And then later on in the afternoon, 109.
Right.
But the morning, when it was 80, I was like, oh, I need my mittens.
Sure.
These kittens need some mittens.
Sure.
But so yeah, 75. What do we do? Holy shit! But we'll be partying all day long. That's the beauty of a night game.
Yes.
And then I think tomorrow, Lance Leggett from Thigh Huggers is coming in. He'll be going to the game with Lasro Lopez this weekend. So you'll have two options to kind of meet a bunch of people this weekend at Ohio State Notre Dame. Jesse and I will be there. Lasro Lopez will be at the Texas game, which is also a night game. 7:30 game for that one as well. So that'll be fun. And then we'll be in Nashville for, what, 2 hours that day?
Yeah.
Hopefully
exactly.
Tops.
Exactly.
I like Nashville, but I've gone a lot. at this point.
And we'll be there at the end of the month.
We will be. Oh, we will be right. Back in Nashville at the end of the month. Now, that one will be there for multiple reasons. So Saturday is the Florida-Tennessee game. That'll be a blast. I think I invited Nick.
You have to get Giorgio and Dan like a later flight after the party, though.
Yeah, I did not order those flights last
time. I'm just saying.
Come on, dude. I know better than that. I know better than
when
that.
When they finally were able to hang out,
yeah.
They had to go night-night. They had to go night-night.
So live show at Tennessee, Florida. That'll be a blast on that Saturday. Sunday, we will be in Nashville. There is a game in Nashville that day. We got hit up for tickets. It's the Raiders are actually playing the Titans that day.
Ooh, no one cares.
Lauren Manley was the one who hit us up. She was like, I got ticks. If you guys want to go, if you boys want to go. I was like, all right, cool. And then Monday we will be at Rob O'Neill's charity golf tournament, doing a live show from there. It's always a blast. You know, Kid Rock and John Daly and all those guys usually roll through. And then a bunch of mysteries. I got to meet Ron White last year, and he got to be on the show. That was amazing.
Yeah.
The dude from NSYNC was really fucking funny. Chris Kirkpatrick. Yeah. Holy shit.
Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon. Not drinking this time. Oh, yeah?
Well, he had had some, you know.
It's golf. You know?
He had an incident. He just was taking it easy.
I know.
Johnny sure does not remember the conversation I had with him.
Sure doesn't. Or
me,
or
probably.
Or being on the show, probably.
But by the way, held it together.
And he's great.
So, like, however he was before that, like, got him into any kind of trouble, like, now he can drink. He was hanging out with his family. He was totally fine. No incidents.
And when you make $200 million playing professional baseball.
Mellows you out a little bit.
You don't really care about the rest of life at that point. Sure does.
He was, even in his arrest video, he was really chill.
Really chill.
Like, he's just kind of like,
it wasn't an attitude problem. It was just that you can't drive an automobile with that much alcohol in your system.
And the best was the Kirkpatrick answer. When I was asking him, you know, about Justin Timberlake and all their stuff, and like him going solo, do you really care? And he was like, no. And he was like, I'm so rich, I just don't care. And I was like, what about your manager stealing all that money, that Pearlman guy who ended up going, I think, to prison, and I believe he died in prison. Mm. And he goes, look, did he steal some money from me? Should I have made $22 million that year instead of 17? Yes, probably. Am I going to bitch about it? Absolutely not. My life is amazing. And I was like, bravo.
Yeah,
that's what it should be.
Yeah,
you
can't
should just
have
be
all the money.
Comfortable,
you know?
But comfortable in your richness that you're able to tell people you're rich and your life is fun and awesome. And I can say, even off air, both of those guys were so rich and chill that you were just like, that's what it should be. You know, both were great dudes off camera as well. You were just like, God damn it.
Right.
That's what I thought it was. You know, you make a couple hondo and then you bounce and just kind of do whatever you want. And just get fucked up everywhere. That's the American dream.
Sure.
So if you're out there and you're living that right now, congratulations for you. But for these two dummies, go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star and leave a quick review. Also go to Spotify and just leave a 5-star. That way, the advertisers who always bitch about us not having enough reviews will be amped about it and they will book more ads for us. And then we can be those assholes one day, hopefully. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I'm Ross Patterson. This is The Revolucion. Buenos tardes, everyone.
Good afternoon.
James.